Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Casey Grant. I am your host and producer of the Fly Girl Show. Today is Veterans Day, and I'd like to be able to recognize how important our vets are and to acknowledge all vets and to let them know we really, really appreciate everything that you have done for us. Today is also another fabulous interview that I have today with Miss Lewis, and she is a, goodness, so many different things. I don't even know where to start with this lady, but she is an experienced professional flight attendant and founder and CEO of Therapy, Inc. She founded this nonprofit to advocate for the mental health of flight attendants, having experienced the effects of mental health illnesses personally. And members of her family, she had a deep compassion for flight attendants, for her coworkers. And so she was impacted by their stories and their pain and the struggles. And as we know, COVID has brought on so many stressful situations for so many people that definitely targeting in on the flight attendant arena is something that is dear to my heart and dear to her heart. And so with that introduction, I would like to introduce you to Nash Lewis. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Miss Casey. I'm doing quite well. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Well, you know, I didn't want to tackle your full name, and I didn't want to mess up the pronunciation, but I love it. What is your full name?
It is Nastasia Lewis. Nastasia.
Nastasia. And Nash or Nash is your wonderful nickname?
Nash with an S.
Okie dokie. I love it. I love it. So with
Thank
that little
you.
Introduction, let's get a little more personal. Now, where are you from? You fly for a major airline. And how did that come about? And just tell us, definitely leading into this wonderful, wonderful organization that you created. I think it's fabulous. So the floor is yours now. Please give us a little introduction.
Yeah, and my story is just, it's probably going to jump around a little bit, but bear with me. So I was born in Jamaica. I came to America when I was 9 years old to live with my father and his wife. Then we moved to Indianapolis when I was about 11 and have basically lived here ever since, went to Ball State University, chirp, chirp for all those Ball Staters out there. and basically just when I was in college, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I kind of just winged it really and got a bachelor's in general studies, but minored in psychohuman development and sociology because I always had a mind for people and just the social aspects of this life in general. And then I was like, what am I going to do? And basically, I got married pretty young, got married at 23, and thought that was the be-all, end-all. And it ended up pretty terrible. And my first instinct was to run. I had a five-year-old in tow and wanted to make sure I found a position that would take me home. But at the same time, I can just go away and just figure it out. And all the airlines were hiring for the first time after over a decade, and I jumped at the opportunity and got through the first round. And Ms. Casey, you know this job was not the easiest to attain.
Yes.
Or still, it's pretty hard for a lot of people to get in. And I got in the first round, and I was just like, let me just try it out. And I kind of fell in love with it. I buried everything that was going on at home and just thrust myself into the flight attendant just career and lifestyle. And it was a struggle, definitely was a struggle, but I loved it, and it brought me to where I am today, if that is a short answer in a small bio.
Well, it's a wonderful answer, and you're right. And that one of the things that the job does afford you to do is you can run from your problems. One of the fun things I did, and I love to tell the story. I was engaged to everybody, and you know, I date a guy. He would propose. I knew I didn't want to get married, and then I just fly away. You know, I pretend like I was on call. So. And then the bad times. And then when you broke up with someone, you could dash on, get on the plane and go to Hawaii and just drown your sorrows or forget them. You never drowned in your sorrows. You just kind of put them under and layered them and just kept on moving. And so, you know, this is you're coming up with this wonderful organization, your nonprofit. Really is something that's necessary because being a flight attendant is a very lonely life. And it looks very glamorous. You know, you're just as pretty as a poster picture for any airline. But behind those smiles is a lot of pain. And so this is my opening up to you and for the introduction for the audience as to what was really the one thing that brought you to say you wanted to have a organization like this.
So my divorce was basically that catalyst that thrust me into aviation, but they always say whatever you run from, eventually it's going to catch up. And we already know about the loneliness and the trials that come with being a flight attendant, being away from home. Especially I started as a parent, so I already had, you would say, an extra baggage that I had to navigate when I started this job with scheduling and being a really junior flight attendant, you're at the mercies of whatever you get when bidding. And so I was not holding off the days I wanted. So I was trying to navigate, you know, being a great mom and also being a great flight attendant as well and doing something that I actually was enjoying. But as the years flew by, I started to really, really struggle. And in 2018 was when I really felt like I didn't want to live anymore. I was struggling so badly, and I didn't know where to turn to. And, you know, you have your family, and you can tell them that you're going through this, and they're just like, you're traveling all over the world. What are you upset about? And I'm just like, that's not it. Like, I'm looking at all these beautiful places, but I can't even afford to buy myself a nice dinner at these places because you're so junior. So, yes, you're enjoying it, but you can't afford anything except to just sit on the beach and enjoy the moment for what it is. And so in 2018, a voice came to me to make a Facebook group and just talk about what you're going through. And I just couldn't do it because, you know, talking about mental health and just the fact that you're struggling, because we're all posting the amazing things about the job, but we're not being honest about the dark part. So you are really contradicting yourself when you're posting, oh, yeah, I'm in, you know, Cancun, I'm on the beach and I'm enjoying myself. But then when you go to the room, you're by yourself and there's no one there. No one's posting those things. And I wasn't posting that. And so I ignored it. And kind of just pushed through and was like, let me just keep going, because I have my son. I need to try to just make it for him. And in 2019, it just kept getting just more harder to just get up in the morning. I was calling out sick all the time, and I just was not doing well. And finally, the voice came to me again, Nastasia, make the group. So I finally one day wrote out my story. And September 29th, 2019, I published it in a group. And at the time, therapy was called Sharper Lane. No, actually Sharp Circle was what it was called. And I don't know why, but I invited all of my friends that were flight attendants, and I was just like, this is my last-ditch effort to just say, help me, somebody. And when I posted that story, everyone was like, oh, my gosh, Nastasia, why don't you tell us? I've been struggling, too. Like, this is, I don't know what's happening, but I've been struggling. So October from our airline, and I think it's for a lot of airlines, is when we all do re-enrollment for your insurance, picking your plans, and all those things. And everyone was saying, like, hey, if you're looking for a therapist, if you're with said company, if you pick this plan, you can go to therapy and don't have to pay a dime, because we know finances are a major barrier to getting mental health services. And that was my biggest struggle. I couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. And so I switched over to that plan that October, and I happened to be scrolling on Instagram one day, and a friend of mine happened to post the card of her therapist. And I messaged her, and I was like, hey, I'm in the market for a therapist. I don't know how to find one, but do you like this person? And she was just like, oh, my God, if you're looking for someone, please call her. And a few weeks later, I got the courage and I called this woman. Shout out to Andrea Ford. She is – that woman saved my life. And I'm not going to be on your radio show crying today, but I get really emotional when I say that statement because she honestly saved me, Ms.
Yes.
Casey. And so I called her. And when I called her, I felt like – just hearing her voice, I felt like I was sitting by a stream of water, and it was so calm, and I felt like, yeah, this may work. And she was like, you know, I may not be able to take you in this year, but come January 11th, come in. And I came into her office, and that was the beginning of my mental health journey. So honestly, this is all a trial and error run. So January 11th, 2020, went to therapy for the first time. And in March of 2020, the world shut down because COVID happened. And, of course, during this time, the airlines were like, you guys, you know, take a leave. You know, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. Flights were canceling. My whole entire schedule for April canceled. And I just stayed home. I didn't even pick up because I was like, I don't know what's going on. The airports were empty. And that was when flight attendants kept inviting other flight attendants into that group that I formed that the year prior. And everyone was in there just seeking support and talking about what was happening in the industry, talking about, you know, what if, you know, the airline shut down? What if this will happen? And as the year wore on is when I realized how much so many of us were struggling mentally with the uncertainties of the industry and how volatile it became. And that was when I saw a need. And within that group, Ms. Casey, I found healing with my peers. With us talking about the struggles, what we were going through. And I realized all this time, I thought I was by myself, but I really wasn't. And it was that year I decided to turn it into a nonprofit organization to advocate for our mental health because I realized how much of a need there was that wasn't being filled. And through my own experience and just the experience of my peers, is how this whole thing began. So in a nutshell, that was how therapy began, was because of my own struggles and realizing I wasn't alone.
Well, you know, you said when you opened up and let the world know, I think that's just the beginning of healing for so many different things, number one. But then everybody else, it's like asking the question in class when you were in school and you were too embarrassed because you thought it was a dumb question. And then when you ask the question, everybody is like, oh, I needed to know. I didn't know. I was too embarrassed. And so this is exactly the same principle of what you did. You reached out because you felt the pain. Now, let me ask you if there is such an answer, a quick answer on it. When the flight attendants are, what is the, is there a main connection? Is it loneliness? Is it what is the main thing that flight attendants are struggling with? I understand that how things have changed from my glamorous days to the struggles and the chaos of this day and age. So what is the main thread for all of you?
Honestly, it's a petri dish of so many different things. Because if we look at our work group as a whole, we have many different age groups. Just the demographics change. Age, where you are in your life, senior, junior, all those things. And we know seniority rules in this industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when I came in, we had – there was no hiring for my airline for over a decade after 9/11. And so us newbies, bright, fresh-faced, just young – vibrant young people just coming in and saying, oh my God, this is amazing, let's go for it. And you have a more senior work group who literally are like, they've been there, done that, and now we're the fresh faces.
Yes.
And so you have a difference of financials coming in, and there were so many senior flight attendants that took me underneath their wings when we came in, when we had to fly international, and we were broke. We couldn't even afford escargot. But they took us to restaurants and exposed us because we couldn't afford it. So you have all those things in it with financials. Then you have the anxiety of, I've always been a commuter. I've been commuting my whole career. And having to navigate, making sure you get to work, making sure you take care of yourself, but at the same time you can't. Just, I didn't eat a lot of times, And I would hope a first-class passenger didn't want their food when I first started, because that was the only way that I would be able to eat anything, was because someone didn't want their meal, and I was so grateful. So right now you're having situations of new flight attendants coming in and dealing with the anxiety of being relocated away from their familiarity of home, being pushed into cities that they have no idea anything. They're expensive. You have people falling into major depression. You have a lot of flight attendants dealing with just with the overall acclimating themselves to this lifestyle, because we know, yes, it's a job, but it really is a lifestyle. It's not like anything out there. And it's just so many things at play. And because of that, and now coming off the backs of COVID, is burnout. So many people didn't come back to the airline industry because they got used to getting used to being home. So many people got married. So many of us got healthy enough to have children. Like, so many of my colleagues got pregnant when all of us were on leave. And it was amazing to see, because so many were trying to get pregnant and it didn't happen. And I think we know that flying, especially with our circadian rhythms off, a lot of us are all over the place. We don't, our bodies are just so burnt out and stressed out that it's not a great, you know, situation to have kids. But we saw so many people didn't come back. And now that we are understaffed, a lot of us who are still here are dealing with the effects of understaffedness, and if that is even a word. But a lot of us are just we're tired. And because we're tired and we're not.
Yes. And you know, I just want to go back to your dealing with in telling everyone about your not having any food. And the difference in your situation and my situation was, number one, we didn't have the depression of COVID, and we didn't have the depression of, is the airline going out of business? Because my first meal in our apartment, my roommate and I, was a boiled egg, which the people that we rented the apartment had left the egg, and a can of grapefruit juice, which we had taken from the airplane, because we didn't have any money either. So we had the struggles that you just said, too. We didn't have but we made good money, though. That was another thing. We made good money. Our problem was trying to manage that, because we had never had that money. But you still were trying to live payday to payday, and you still had to pay rent. But it was an adventure. So the same thing, you and I could sit up and talk about how you didn't have any food, how we didn't have any food. And our treat was going to Howard Johnson's after counting all of our pennies, the change that we had, and we'd go and split a Sunday. So, but yours is overshadowed by the world, the depression of things that were happening, the worldly things, not knowing if you were going to have a job. That's a lot of stress to deal with. So when we dealt with the neighbor next door, they were flight attendants for another airline. They would have bread. We maybe had bologna, and we could all go get a Boone's Farm, was a wine you probably don't know about, but that was the cheapest wine you could get. And we would laugh and drink Boone's Farm and have a bologna sandwich, and we were stewardesses, so we were happy.
Right.
But the world. So it's two different stories with a different slant because of other ingredients that's brought into it. And so, yes, this was, I never really thought, being a flight attendant, I never really thought about that either, because I thought most of the people that may have been laid off would maybe have gone back to their old jobs, because and then they didn't have a job to go back to. So let me make that correction, because COVID shut everything down.
Yeah.
So, yes. Yes, you can. I can understand that. You really, really, it was something that was so necessary. Now, let me ask you: did the airlines realize there was a need for it? I know you said insurance you could, but did the airline realize that you people, flight attendants, needed to come together for support? Did they help in any way?
That is a loaded question. In my just opinion, I really believe the airlines have always kind of overlooked mental health and well-being, but because basically mental health for, I believe, a lot of corporations and companies, they will add an EAP program, and it's a way to check the box to say, yes, we have this in place for our employees in the event they're struggling. But mental health is not just, it's not a construct. It's a personal journey. And
okay.
We need corporations to have something in place that involves holding your employees' hand and walking them through it. Just like when we
mm-hmm.
have re-enrollment every October, they
mm-hmm.
basically say, hey, re-enrollment is happening, apply, you have until this date to do it. That's it. There is no, let's go down to the operations and let's talk about what we're offering so that you can be well informed about your choices. They leave it
mm-hmm.
all up to you. And a lot of times you don't really understand the language. So you have to ask and call and you have to go through the queue to get someone to speak to. And sometimes it takes all day. And a lot of
yeah.
us have other things that are more important, like surviving out here in the world, than to
yeah.
do that. So it's
yeah.
about, and we both know that in this career path, you have to be intentional about every single thing.
Everything.
You have to be.
Yes. Yes.
But with
you
this
have
organization,
to be on it.
And with this organization, I have not felt any company support because I have not asked for it. Because honestly, us putting mental health on the map and saying suicide is high in aviation is basically shining the light on each airline and saying, you need to do better. And you know, saving face and us being the face of the company, they make sure that we cannot say certain things. Let's just be
yes.
honest about that.
Yes. Well, you know, I think what it will do, too, is once the elephant is let out the room or you recognize the elephant in the room, then you have to, people would be, the passengers would look at a flight attendant possibly thinking, oh, she may not be stable. How is she going to get me off the airplane? So it's a very thin
mm-hmm.
line of giving support but still keeping it not in the limelight for people to see, but the support should really be there. But you're absolutely right. We have to be very much on it for ourselves. You have to take care. But the whole flight attendant life is about taking care of yourself. You have to get the proper rest. You have to get the right food. You have to get the right moisturizers for your face. So really, you are really in this boat, and you never think about it while you're in it, but you're really in this boat all by yourself so you can make that wonderful presentation for the passengers
yeah.
and the company.
Yeah, and I feel like that's really all that matters. But at the same
yeah.
time, the current climate that we're in does not give the grace to do those things like getting proper rest. If you have an irregular operations, you're probably getting less than 8 hours a night, and you have to
mm-hmm.
be up at 0500 hours
mm-hmm.
to be back at the airport. So
mm-hmm.
our current schedules and the current state of aviation does not allow for proper physical and mental health care at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why a lot of us are struggling. We just lost a pilot 3 months ago to suicide. Last August, a flight attendant killed herself, and she just had a baby 10 days prior. So things are going
mm-hmm.
on in this industry, but no one is talking about it because
no.
it does not shine a good light on the industry.
Oh, my. That's so disheartening to have you, the flight attendant, a 10-day-old baby, and she just could
yeah.
not see. Well, you know, mental health is something that mental wellness, mental health, no one wants to talk about this. And it really is something, if we look at the world, all the different things that people are going through, just the election of the high anxiety. And we think that
yeah.
everybody is okay, and we think everybody's healthy enough to deal with it between the ups and the downs. And you're absolutely right. We all need a safety net. And this is what you have given the flight attendants with your organization. This is a safety net, a safe place to come and realize there is light at the end of the tunnel. And that's also,
yeah.
that's a very easy thing for me to say because right now I'm up and everything is fine. But when you're down, you don't want to hear someone say there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You're like, I don't see it. I don't believe you,
right.
and I'm just going to stay in this dark place where I am. And we have to reach down and grab someone's hand and pull them up. And this is what you're doing.
Yeah. Yes,
so tell
definitely.
Us how it works. And how does it work? Do they have, how do they get in contact with you? And how are you promoting this? Are you promoting it throughout other airlines? Are you promoting it through the flight attendants, through other airlines, so they know that you are there and it's available, it's a resource?
So basically, how therapy exists right now, we're here to fill the gap. And currently we're providing flight attendants with mental health resources beyond what the airlines offer. Our first program that we launched last year was the Therapy Text Line. And this was born out, majority of this organization was formed out of just my own experience and just what I believe that we need. And, of course, being around my peers. And, of course, that Facebook group went from literally 10 flight attendants to now 4,700 of us plus in there now. We have a following of over 11,000 on Instagram of flight attendants every day, and we reach over almost 150,000 accounts basically every single week of just talking about what's going on in the industry. And right now, the Therapy Text Line is basically my, I guess, biggest project. We launched it last December, and over time, we have released, have exchanged over 15,000 text messages back and forth with flight attendants texting in at all hours of the day, all hours of the night. I didn't go to bed till like about 4 a.m. this morning because I was up answering messages from my peers who text in saying, I just need someone to talk to. So basically, this therapy text line exists. It's a anonymous, free, 100% just confidential text line that anyone in the aviation industry, we turn away no one. Yes, it is a flight attendant geared and volunteered, manned, text line, but we have basically every work group texting and saying, hey, I'm not a flight attendant, but I just need someone to talk to. And it's 24/7, and you can text in at any point in time, and a volunteer flight attendant will be on the other end to talk to you and just say, I'm here to support you. Let's talk. And we also have the peer-to-peer support group on Facebook. We have partnerships with certified counselor referrals.
Okay.
And we're there to fill the gap and be another bridge to allow flight attendants to know that you can come to us and we are anonymous and nothing that happens here will go back to your airline. But we can get you to a moment where you feel like you're not going to make it to a point where you say, yes, I can hang on for another day.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I wanted to hear, I mean, not only is it just peer-to-peer, my airlines had a organization that I joined, and it was called, goodness, it just went out of my mind. But the point of it is it was peer-to-peer or support. And they did not think there was a need for it. They just thought it was something just like you. Someone must have introduced the idea, and I joined it. So my first assignment to validate this program was, and it's in my book, it was a one of the ramp guys had gotten run over by the airplane. And I did the counseling for all of this, the policemen, the New York policemen, the ramp agents, the pilots, everybody that was involved. I had just come in from Europe exhausted. But with prayer, and they gave me strength to say the right thing and to have the energy to do it, because the person that felt responsible was definitely the first one that I embraced and was able to counsel. And I was flattered because I was the first person that they spoke to, but then they were supposed to have been turned over to a professional, and no one wanted to go to the professional. They said, no, we appreciate it, but we want to stay with Casey. And that was something that was validated, a program and a resource, because they did not have that before. So you have really created something, the mental health aspect of it, and you're right. We don't know how many flight attendants, we don't know how many pilots commit suicide or attempt suicide. And it's really an eye-opener from the story that you just said to you realizing how much of a need it is, because I'm sure you have been overwhelmed listening to some of these calls.
Well, so for me, I think it's vital that with anyone who helps, you need to also have someone helping you.
Yeah.
And I still see my therapist every single month because I also need an outlet
yes.
to release all that has been released onto me. So
mm-hmm.
I still see her every single month because I, too, have things that I'm dealing with. I need a place to vent and have an unbiased ear hear me when I say I, too, am struggling.
Mm-hmm.
I was just when you and I spoke a few days ago, I was telling you that, you know, even though I'm doing all these things, I can honestly admit, too, that I am tired. And
mm-hmm.
I know because I am human. I'm not a machine. And my body does get worn down. My mind gets worn down. I was really grateful this morning my boyfriend dropped my son to school for me because I was up until 4 a.m., you know, taking messages, and I was extremely tired. And he was just like, hey, I'll take the kiddo to school this morning. Get another hour of rest. And
yes.
those are the things that we appreciate, and that is what every flight attendant would like. We want a village around us to support us, with even if it's the little things. And that is the reason why this organization means everything, is because of the peer-to-peer aspect. We need each other in this industry. We cannot do it without each other. Because
we
at the
cannot.
End of the day,
yeah.
we're not. But a lot of us don't feel it because a lot of us don't open our mouths and say it because of the pride and our egos are involved, which is totally okay. But I preach every single week, you're not alone.
Well, it's not so, you know, this is one of the things you and I had a quick conversation about, is that we have to be prepared. We have to think out the box. You have to solve the problems. That's part of being a flight attendant. When you get on that airplane,
mm-hmm.
you have to be able to assess and react. And that's what you have, because you have a time limit and you have a lot of lives depending on you. So you take that in you, and it goes into your everyday life. And to reach out, you, part of our conversation, too, we had is it's hard for us to ask for help. And one of the things
yeah.
that was that people would laugh, but as a flight attendant, I think you'll understand it, when we would go visit someone, we always are in the mode, we know how to get from downtown to a convenient position or part of the city for someone to pick us up so that we don't inconvenience people to fight the traffic to come to the airport. So my
yeah.
treat was always when someone said to me, I'll pick you up at the airport. Now, that sounds very trivial to someone else, but that was such a treat for me to walk off and someone was right there to pick me up. Because they
yeah.
just knew, oh, well, can you come on downtown and we'll pick you up to the hotel, because they have a courtesy bus that picks you up and brings you down. So it doesn't take much to stroke us, because we always are doing and taking care of and thinking and planning. And when someone says, like your boyfriend said, I recognize you need help, I am going to help, and you didn't have to ask.
Yes. That's vital, and I believe a lot of us want that to happen. I just think sometimes a lot of people don't know how to support us because
no.
we have presented such a great picture to the world
yes.
that to believe you're struggling is like, really? Seriously, flight attendants go through things? Yes, we do.
Not you who has it all together. And you know, it's funny because I had kind of that conversation with a friend of mine, and it wasn't asking, but I did expect. I was in the hospital, had been in intensive care, and nobody sent any cards, and very few people called. And the reason is because nobody took the initiative to tell my friends. But I was the
mm-hmm.
one who's always responsible that if anybody gets sick, I'm always the one to tell the world. So I had a little setback because I thought, well, had I died, would anybody have known, or when would they tell anybody? Because I made it through, but I didn't hear anything from anybody. So once again, it's like, you don't need anything. You're fine. That is not the case.
And the funny thing is, you would think, because so in one given day, if you do maybe one or two legs a day or three, uh-huh. you're coming in contact with at least 300, 400, 500 people per day.
Uh-huh.
And we're serving them. We're constantly, flight attendants are constantly in service. We're in service. As soon as we walk into the airport, someone asking you a question, hey, where is this? I've probably only been to this airport twice, but they're asking me because I have the uniform on. So it's automatic
yes.
that I know exactly
yes.
where I am and what where you're asking me to go. So because we're constantly in service, our tanks at the end of the day become empty.
Yes.
And when we go to those hotel rooms, there is nobody there to fill it but you.
Yes. But you.
And a lot of times we don't have the strength to fill it because we're exhausted.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is the part of the glamorous flight attendant. As I said, all that glitters is not gold. And that was my opening for this interview, that, you know, you see the pretty girl, she's smiling, she's perfect, she's this, she's intelligent. But you're absolutely right. You go to that hotel, and you have to plug yourself in. You have to recharge that battery because you don't have it. And it is really a very, very lonely life. It is a glamorous life for those that don't know, but it is a very lonely, stroke-yourself life.
It is. But the one thing I will not sit here and say that all of it is like that. And for those who are listening, even though it seems like the negative parts overweigh, we honestly work with a lot of amazing people. And I, for one, I am not a slam clicker. For those who are listening, a slam clicker is someone that we finish our flights and we go to the hotel and you're shutting the door and you're not coming out for the rest of the layover. If
yes.
anybody wants to come out and go out now, I am 100% will rally and will drink a Red Bull because, oh my gosh, you guys want to go out? What do you want to do? I'm going to be. So let's put our bathing suits on. Let's grab some stuff and let's go.
Yes.
Like, these are the parts of the job. And this is what keeps a lot of us here is,
yes.
one, the flexibility, and two, the fact that you work with people who literally want to enjoy, even if it's a small thing, let's just go downstairs and have a drink. Let's just go
yes.
have dinner. And usually
yes.
at those dinners, people are crying because then we start sharing with each other, and you feel a sense of camaraderie with commiserating
yes.
with your peers that you cannot get anywhere else. So, yes, it's lonely, but we also have moments where because of each other, because of that peer-to-peer interaction, we still stick around. And I'm sure you can attest to that, Ms. Casey.
Absolutely. It's that instant bonding. I used to, in my briefings, I would look in at all the kids' faces, all the flight attendants, and I would say, I could analyze who was suffering, who was having problems, and who would be sitting. I always tell people I was the Oprah in the air. Because when the time was over, the service was over, and I sit in the on the jump seat, I knew who was going to come up and go, oh, hey, Casey, and would tell me their whole story. And when I would
yeah.
see them again and I could tell them or ask them, how are you doing, and remembered the names, of, they just would look at me as if they were amazed. But I saw the hurt. I saw the loneliness. I've had a wonderful life and great support from friends and family. And after that incident, like you just said, you still go see your therapist. After I had done the counseling for that particular incident in New York, I had to go see a psychiatrist. And it was funny because I was looking at the psychiatrist, and she was so amazed that I was so together. I had so much support. I took over the session because she was like, you really have that much support? And it makes you just wonder. I didn't think I wasn't the norm, but I surely didn't think that I was a one in a million person in this particular situation, that people are not supportive and people don't listen. And everybody needs to. Yes, we all need someone that will listen, someone that will say, what can I, you know what I, and I think that your organization will do this, I don't have to ask you what you need. It's more important that I see that you have a need. Offer
yes.
assistance.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And I think that is all just humanity asks for outside of just our work group in general. We
uh-huh.
want to know that there is an open door policy without there being repercussions for me saying, this is how I'm feeling. And that is something I had to work through in therapy myself. because of just my upbringing, I used to be afraid of if I told the truth, this is what would happen. So I would always just tell little fibs because I just was afraid of what would happen if I told actually how I was feeling. Or
yeah.
I would never say what was the truth just because I would just be silent because I just don't know what will happen if I say exactly how I'm feeling. Will there be support? What is the repercussion of this? So because
exactly.
of the unknown, a lot of us would rather suffer in silence than say, I need help.
Yes.
And then, of course, as I mentioned earlier, there's that pride factor of saying I'm struggling when, you know, people are looking at you in your fancy uniform. Next thing you know, you're in Paris in front of the Eiffel Tower, and you come back home, and next thing you know, we find out you're probably in a mental health institution getting help when
yes.
no one would even think that would happen. But this is humanity. This is life. And the more we normalize mental health and the fact that struggle is inevitable, it's going to happen. It's going to happen to every single one of us. And the more we normalize that is the more healing will take place and the more, just like they have the flight attendant drug and alcohol program, I refer a lot of flight attendants there, and it's definitely supported by the FAA. And, you know, it's a very great organization that helps a lot of people. But a lot of flight attendants are not utilizing it because they are afraid of what the repercussions will be for utilizing said service. So there's just so many factors involved. But in order to have trust, in order to have great mental health, just open door policy, you have to have trust as well involved for it to be effective. And we have built that with this organization, that we have built a platform of trust that flight attendants can come and know that there is no repercussions for this and I can be supported 100%.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is the thing that we have to have. You have to be – it's a safe zone. It's a safe haven for those – yes, for those in need, and we have to have that for every – everybody needs it. You know, you tell your best girlfriend something or your best guy something, and you tell him in confidence because you realize, I'm telling you this, but please don't tell anybody else. And so if you
right.
don't have a friend like that that you could relate to, then I'm glad that you have this service or this organization. Now, how do people get in contact with you? Because I still want to continue on with some more interesting facts about it, but I want to interject. How do people get in contact with you, or do you have the text number, or just tell people what my audience, how, if they're in need?
Yeah, so if you're in need, you feel free to go on the website. It's GETTAIRAPY.org and send us a message. You can also email me, nath.lewis@gettherapy.org. And if you're a flight attendant or anyone in the industry that is just need to feel supported, you can text CREW to 833-532-1096. And any of us that are volunteering will be there at the drop of a hat with less than 5 minutes just to talk to you and say, hey, I'm here. So
perfect.
100% is an open door policy here at Therapy. We're ready to support anyone that is a crew member to let you know that you're just not alone and refer you to services to help you feeling from just a high moment of distress to a low moment of there is calm and there is a way. Definitely.
There is a way. There is a way. So once again, I know it's with your particular airline and you just gave my audience the information as to how to reach out, but have you ever or are you going to, you think, alert the different airlines of it so that they would be able to pass it on? Because you can't reach everybody the way that you're doing it now. I mean, you're overwhelmed, I'm sure, but I just think all airlines need to know and inform that their employees that this is available.
Most definitely. So our plan for 2013 for expansion is to do just that, because together is where we can create a world where mental health is the foundation of the aviation community. It has to be a part of the foundation in order to keep us going and to keep the employees that are here alive and well. I literally just said this week, in order to have a successful aviation career, you also have to have strong mental health. And that is our goal for next year, is to definitely alert all the airlines that this service exists and this is how you can be a part of it, and to support this movement, because it is definitely there. We have the data to prove that it's working. And
okay.
So that is definitely on our radar for next year, is to bring the airlines in so that they can utilize the service that we provide.
Okay, and that was one of the other questions I did want to ask you, the follow-up on it, because, as you said, people call in. They understand that it's all confidential. But then what is the follow-up? Do you expect them to call you back and say, okay, I'm this and then the other, or do you just – what is the follow-up on your individual? Like the person that called you this morning or late last night. Now, what would be the steps in your follow-up for that particular person?
Okay, so just for correction, they're not calling in, they're texting in. So it's a
texting,
text line?
Texting. Yes.
Right, yes. So it's all texting, and basically within that texting conversation, we're mainly conversing, because mainly a lot of flight attendants text in because they want to talk, and they want to talk with another peer who understands
okay.
the industry in general. Because, yes, let's just say a lot of corporations, a lot of companies have EAP programs, which is their employee assistance programs, and they're manned by therapists who are licensed. But the one component that they're missing is they're not in our industry. They don't understand our lifestyle. They understand the basis of what you're going through, but they don't understand how it pertains to what we do. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does. They don't understand all that goes into it. Yes, yes, yes. I do understand.
Right. And so they can give you tools to deal with it, but there's nothing like speaking with someone who's doing the same thing that you're doing.
Yes.
And they feel heard. And I think that is the main biggest component of this peer-to-peer resource, is that whoever texts in, they're speaking with someone who understands, and they feel heard, and they leave the conversation feeling, you know, I feel heard. I'm okay. And last night, basically, the person that texted in, they left the conversation, and this is what they said to me verbatim. I was like, can I do anything else to assist you? And they were like, no, I think you lifted a lot of weight off of my heart.
Okay.
And just to hear that, all I need to know that this organization is doing the work that
okay.
we have come to do, and we're lifting off the weight. If they
okay.
say, hey, do you have any resources to point me in a direction how to find a therapist, we give them that within that conversation.
Okay.
So a lot of times when crew are texting in, we're giving resources. So we're giving them something that they can utilize once they've left the conversation. Or
okay.
they're saying things of, you've lifted a weight off of my heart. I feel relieved. I feel that, you know what, I can stay alive for tomorrow. These
okay.
are the statements that we're looking for. And once we have finished the conversation, there is a follow-up message after that conversation saying, hey, how was the conversation? Yes or no, was this conversation helpful? And once we get a yes or no, we're able to track the conversation afterwards. But every time someone texts in, they're receiving something or feeling like they have been able to get it off their chest in a safe, confidential manner, and the conversation
okay.
is going nowhere than here. So that
okay.
is the main premise of why this text line exists.
Do you think that you'll ever expand it to have it a call-in?
So we have that capability now. You can, if they want to have a conversation, we can call them within that conversation, but you have to text in to let us know that, hey, would you mind talking with me? And we have had
okay.
that happen. So
okay.
that capability is there. But this generation of just humans would rather just have a quick conversation. Like me, for instance, I would rather text than call.
Okay. That is the new generation. You're talking about the generation gap. You're absolutely right. My niece won't ever answer the phone, but she definitely will answer a text. So, you know what, though, but that to me is also another breakdown in communication and our socialization. And that's a barrier mm-hmm. to me. I am of another generation. And that just seems like it's a barrier because texting, you can lose a lot of an interpretation. But
yes.
for you generational people who really rely on it, I guess you don't really feel that you've lost anything, that you really can dissect it enough to get the message that you need. And if you walk away at the end of your texting, you feel like you could put a period at the end of that session and say, okay, I feel like I've done my job. I've given them what they needed. They expressed that to me. Then you feel rewarded. You still can get some type of feeling of satisfaction from it. Then it works. But this is truly a generational conversation, texting and voice and calls.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely don't disagree with that at all. I'm really just glad that we have the capability to have phone calls within this organization that are anonymous.
Yeah.
So the only number that they will know is mine. I will never know their information. Any volunteer will never know the information of who
okay.
the initiator of said conversation is unless they volunteer
okay.
that information. And that is the biggest
okay.
component for us is the confidentiality piece because we know aviation is a very large place, but it's also very small.
Very, very small,
and
yes.
Right. And so we're doing our best to protect the identities of
okay.
those who initiate conversations with our organization. And every single volunteer that is volunteering with us is trained on crisis management and how to have those conversations to make sure that we are not offending anyone that texts in and that we're providing support so that they feel welcome to text back again and feel that
perfect.
I'm not being judged in any facet whatsoever. So we're doing the work, and we're reaching many generations of flight attendants, but we don't ask those questions of how old are you or where are you based? Who do you work for? None of those things. We're basically speaking from a piece of just humanity off the rip. But we know
perfect.
The industry that you're coming from, but we just want everyone to know that you're not alone. And even though you're struggling, one of us can identify with something that you're struggling with, and you can leave the conversation feeling like last night that person said, you've lifted a weight off of my heart. And that means that the work that we're doing is reaching and it's doing what it's supposed to do.
That's exactly right. I love that. I love that. It is doing what it's supposed to do. That there, you're not alone. You're never alone. This is a 24-hour, 100% confidential. And I think those things are the most reassuring words that you could start with or end this conversation with, is that you were there, the service is there, and all you have to do is reach out. I love it. I love it. So we're coming close to a close, but I'd like for you once again to slowly, and it's also to the audience, it's also on my website, so all you have to do is to pull up this show and you'll be able to get the information. But once again, would you please give the text information and also email information for everybody to be able to get in contact? Or the main main way, yes.
So if there's any flight attendants listening or any crew member within aviation who are needing support, you can contact the text line at all hours of the day, 24/7. It's 100% free and confidential. You can text CREW, CREW, to 833-532-1096. If you would like to reach out to the organization to get even further with resources or just any other resource to help you with your mental health, whether that be substance abuse, anxiety, depression, you can email us at info@gettherapy.org, GETTHAIRAPY.org is our website. Reach out to us at all hours of the day, whenever. We're here to support you. And to leave with this final thought, I was watching Shark Tank the other day, and this lady basically was just showcasing her business and saying that she was giving who she was getting her product from a livable wage because she does not want to do things how they've always been done. With therapy and with myself and my mission, to change aviation in the mental health space. We want to change things and not do it how it's always been done, because to have a successful career in aviation, you have to have strong mental health. And I just want you all to know that therapy is here for you. I am here for you to be there to support you and let you know that you're not alone. And thank you, Ms. Casey, for having me on your show today.
Well, this was wonderful. I've learned a lot, and you have a very calming, reassuring voice, and you feel it. I feel that your passion is there. And I think that anyone that would text you, I'm sure that your passion comes through in the text. If they ever had the opportunity to talk to you, I know that they feel that, because it's coming from your heart. And I know, but dealing with these passengers, and we had passenger issues, but we did not have anything like I know you flight attendants are dealing with today. And that is going to be another show that I'm going to have how it was the glamorous years and how it is today. Because you have to have a suit of armor on under that pretty uniform to be able to deal with all the different issues that you're confronted with every day. And to be able to, you've given my audience great tools. You know, it does start with rest, and it does start with food, and it does water. You know, you have to have all these different things to be able to function. And I am so pleased and happy that we met. I'm so happy that you have found the resources to be able to get this off the ground, because you had to work hard. It came with the concept, and now you've been able to create it, and it is here. You have done it. Mm-hmm. You have created something so worthy, worthwhile. You have to be proud of yourself.
Most definitely. I believe this was given to me by God, to be honest, because it was a 2-year just struggle with myself, and I finally just decided to be obedient. And out of my obedience, this was created. And the amount of thousands of lives that have been saved and impacted by this organization, it couldn't have been done by just me being faithful and obedient. So I'm just really grateful that I can be of service. And that is my motto, is I would like to leave aviation better than I found it. And so I will continue to just push and do all I can to make aviation a safer and more welcoming and more mental health friendly space for all the new hopefuls, because the next generation of aviators definitely are going to be greater than we were. And that is the mission, to lead aviation better than I found it.
That was powerful. I love it. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for that, because you're on a mission, I'm on a mission, and together we will put the flight attendants in history. And with this therapy, I actually think that you should be introduced to every class when the kids are going through, and I won't say kids, but when the stewardesses, flight attendants are going through training, I think at the end of it, this should be in their packet of surviving. You know, we had the different things of how to do your bills and how to do all this kind of stuff. Then they need to have that number at the very bottom of all. When everything becomes too overwhelming, reach out. We are here to help you.
Yes, most definitely.
So with that, we have talked up to the very moment. I have to thank you so much for a fabulous interview. I'd love to have you back. And for my audience, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in. This is Casey Grant, and as you know, I am the host and the producer of the Fly Girl Show. Please go to the website, get all the information you need for Ms. Lewis's information. And remember, it is 100% confidential, and it is there for you. Reach out. There is someone there to help you. And her name is Ms. Lewis, and the organization is Therapy. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Please honor our vets. Without them, no telling where our country would be. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you again. This is Casey Grant, and I am the host of The Fly Girl Show.